Lord, as we worship today, we ask that you put a new song in our mouths, put a new joy in our hearts, put a new confidence in our wills, and put your truth in our minds, and grant us a determined spirit to do what you ask of us. We ask these things as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I have been asked to do the stewardship moment this morning, and sometimes it can be counterproductive to ask the minister to talk about stewardship because it can be perceived as being self-serving, since I happen to be the biggest expense that the church does have in terms of my salary. First, let me give a shout out to Juana Reinders, who basically did our stewardship campaign single-handedly this year. I love the name of the theme, Together for Joy, because our church and all of you are the biggest joy in my life. Let me tell you a little bit about my journey to tithing. Tithing, as you know, is what is suggested in the Bible. It is a tenth of what we earn should be given back to God. As a young person, I was very faithful to the church. I always attended Sunday school. Clearly, I can't take credit for that. That was due to the efforts of my parents. I started teaching Sunday school when I was 16, and I felt a call to the church, but I'd never seen a woman be a pastor in my church, so I just did not know that the path to ordination might be open to me. And so I went off to Colorado when I was 24, where I was led to the local Methodist seminary, because I was a Methodist in those days, the Iliff School of Theology. And through that school, I ended up in the United Church of Christ, believe it or not, with my first call to the United Church of Christ in Abington, Mass. In 1976. Of course, all of the time, from childhood to college to seminary, I was living on a shoestring. I didn't have very much money. I had to learn on the job in the church about stewardship. I learned the biblical view, and I've repeated them to you, but I think it's always worth repeating. One out of every seven verses in the Bible, believe it or not, is about money or possessions. Three out of the Ten Commandments deal with money and possessions. 16 of the 23 parables that Jesus told are about money and possessions. Jesus talks about, number one, the kingdom of God. Number two, money and possessions. And he has three times more to say about money, believe it or not, than about prayer. At first, it was difficult for me to embrace giving 10% of what I earned to the church, and more importantly to God. I slowly increased my giving from 1% to the 10%, and gradually I learned the real joy of giving without any concern. I just did it, and it really didn't seem to matter to me in the end. Now, that is not to brag or to boast or to hold myself up as a generous giver, but I do experience joy when I know what we do together for joy in this community. We've accomplished a lot. I think of using Marjorie Furbish's great requests to us to keep improving our church and our CE building and affording a youth pastor these past years for our young people. I feel joy when we serve people in our community and around the world. Think of all we do, supporting a child overseas, helping build a school in the poorest nation in the world, Haiti, feeding our neighbors through various organizations in this area, helping people who struggle with addictions by offering our facility to one of the largest AA groups in the area, as well as taking on a local women's sober house, thanks to you, Gil, this particular time. Helping put a smile on a child's face through providing generous gifts for Christmas is for Kids, about which you will hear from Gil this morning, and the mission committee. So I have joy for all of you who of their time and talents to Central Congregational Church have given so very much. My pledge card is in for my tithe of salary, Won't you consider raising your pledge this year by perhaps 1 or 2%? The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver, but I've read that the Greek actually says the Lord loves a hilarious giver. I hope that we can all be hilarious in our giving and let us truly be together for joy. And now I'd like to call on Gil for the mission moment.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Reverend Carroll, thank you for your stewardship moment. And I'd like simply to add, similar to Carol, growing up in the church, attending Sunday school, that's really where I was taught to tithe as well. And the church that I was attending, we're always encouraged to give 10% of our resources. And I'd have to say over the years, that's been a principle that Warna and I have lived by, providing 10% of our income as our tithe. And I have to say that along the way, when times are tough, whatever they may be, we've trusted in the Lord, and the Lord has always provided. And, you know, the scripture says, give your tithes and offerings. And I was just thinking this morning, we need the tithe to come in, the pledges for the operation of the church, and our offerings is that which we give above our tithe. And many Sundays doing these reports, I've given thanks to the various generous congregation we have that keeps supporting the mission projects that enable us to help those in our community. So I just want to remind you once again, this is, we're already down to the end of the month. We've been supporting we want to support a women's sober house that's located in Attleboro. I had the opportunity to speak to the manager of the house this week, who just reemphasized once again, and I learned the owner of the house is a recovered alcoholic. And so in the house, you know, some toiletries are provided. There's the classes and encouragement that takes place. Each of the women are encouraged to find employment within a couple of weeks. And they are on their own by way of food while they're living there. And the manager said to me, the women do kind of pool their resources for providing, you know, the meals that they need. And once again, they're looking for employment. Sometimes it'd be helpful if they had some additional cash to go and find clothing that would be appropriate for the job. So we just ask that you consider giving once again, and I hope to have an opportunity to speak with the owner of the house and who oversees the program when we're ready to make our contribution and just speak further with her. And then looking ahead, it's hard to believe it's time to support the Greater Attleboro Area Council for Children and Christmases for Kids. We've done it for years. And what I simply want to say this morning is we're going to operate the program in the same manner that we did last year related to the pandemic. The Christmas tag tree will be over in the CE building on the second floor just outside the offices. And all of the tags will be on that tree. You can take one, you can take two, you can take as many as you would like. And all that we ask is, as we did last year, there'll be a clipboard with a sign-up sheet. And as you take tags, we ask that you write your name down, put the number of the tag on the sheet, and then leave your phone number, just in case we need to call you if there's a question about anything that's been purchased. So next Sunday, we trust that that tree will be up and ready to go. We'll get the names of the children. There'll be six children that we're going to provide for. The tags will be on the tree next Sunday in the CE building. And you can come Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to take a tag off the tree because of the building open for child care. So thank you for your giving, and God bless you.
Thank you, Gil, for all that you do. This is the time when we do have announcements. And Glenn, I believe you have a youth announcement.
So next Sunday, the senior high and tweens are going to get together at the Roundsvilles. I think Kathy put something in the worship, the email you received for worship. It might be a big long, maybe it's down the bottom there somewhere. But it'll be from 6:30 to 8 next Saturday night. If you want to call me, it's 508-406-8474. I think a lot of you have my email and that too, so you can text me as well. So that's it.
Thank you, Glenn. We ask that you continue to give us some feedback about the way our service is running on this streaming platform, and we've received a lot of good information, so continue doing that, please. Since I am not present in the Zoom meeting, I cannot be asking you to share your celebrations and concerns, and so I would ask that you email or call the church office with those before the Thursday of each of our Sunday worship services. We're also beginning to plan for Apple Pie Day, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, with a wreath sale for that time of year. No Christmas trees are going to be sold this year. If you would like to help with either of these events, just call the church office and we will get you to the people that need to know that. And our next Friday family feast is coming on November 12th. With stuffed shells. So please call the office to reserve the meal that you would like, the number of meals you would like. Mr. Dave, it's time for your music.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning. Praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rains new fall, suddenly from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung from completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden so plain. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Thank you for that, Dave. Thank you so much. This is the time we share our celebrations. We continue to work on and celebrate the live streaming of our worship service so that all may be a part of the congregation, even those who cannot be here in person when the pandemic may be behind us. Many thanks to Rich Goss and Wayne for their technical help, who worked tirelessly to make this a reality. And I also have to say that it is Warna Rinda's birthday today. So, Gil, we offer our best wishes for her birthday, and we hope that you're treating her well today, especially on her birthday.
Carol, it's also Kristen's birthday today.
Also, Kristen Roundsville's birthday. Wow, we've got a double celebration. Yeah. Terrific. Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, Donna's birthday and your daughter-in-law's birthday. Okay, excellent. Big day for birthdays. Big time of the year. Very good. Thank you. Any other celebrations that any of you out there have? If not, then we will turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray for those who are ill and others in need of prayer, and we include in that vein this morning Tammy Matthews, who is still recovering from her knee surgery. Rich Goss's brother, Tom. Jackie Howard is doing better and better with her knee. For Baba Voyan's sister, Marge. We've been asked to pray for Amos Robinson's brother, Lonnie, who has been diagnosed with cancer. We pray for Jennifer, for Len, who is at home and in hospice care, and his wife, Nancy, who is home with him. We pray for Kristen, for Tyla, for Brigida, for Nancy. Ed Dyer came home from the rehab this past week, so he has been at home, and Janet Dyer came home at the same time, actually, from Madonna Manna, and unfortunately she passed away just yesterday, so our thoughts and prayers are with the Dyer family. We pray for Loretta. Gil has asked us that we pray each for each month's mission, which is coming up now to be Christmas is for Kids. We still pray also for the Sober House that we are supporting. We remember the AJ, the Bishop Feehan hockey player, who was paralyzed in a hockey accident. We pray for Marie, for Tyson Bowles' sister Lee, for Cher. Those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living are Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, and Doris Brunel. And Janet Dyer, by the way, is going to have visiting hours at Dyer Lake this coming Wednesday evening, 4 to 8, and the funeral will be there at, I believe it's 10 o'clock in the morning at Dyer Lake. So we continue to pray for an end to this epidemic. We pray for the well-being of our nation and for our communities. So please join with me in a prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, be with us in this time of prayer. Calm our spirits and lead us into a place of peace. We pray for the good of your church around the world and right here in Attleboro Falls. Through our actions, may we proclaim your goodness and love today and every day. Bless our land, that there may be peace within our gates and prosperity within our borders. Give grace to our elected leaders, and that our common allegiance to justice may be strong and the nation confident in the united and mutual support of our people for all our common values and visions. Bless our families and children. Protect our children especially from cruelty and violence at home, at school, and in our neighborhoods. Renew our commitment to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give health, comfort, and strength to those who are sick, bereaved, or weakened by disease or accident. And we ask a special blessing upon all of those whose names we have mentioned this morning, and pray that you would attend also to those whose names we now share out loud at home and here in this time of silence. Great Great God, as you led your people through the wilderness to the promised land, so you have led many of our loved ones through the troubles of life into the rest prepared for your people. Guide our steps that we may not wander from the way before us in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. To him, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all praise and thanksgiving, world without end. Amen.
Good morning. It's like magic. I just appear at the lectern. It's good. For today's scripture lesson, we will continue reading from the Gospel according to Mark. The 10th chapter of Mark is about Jesus' teachings. Let's review those teachings. He is asked by the Pharisees about divorce. Children come to Jesus, and he teaches his followers about the importance of children. He confronts a rich young man about his possessions, keeping that man from following Jesus. Last week, he instructed James and John, two of his most faithful followers, to give up the idea that following Jesus is going to lead to honor and glory in this world. The scripture that follows all that instruction in Mark's gospel leads directly into his entrance into Jerusalem that we call Palm Sunday. I will be reading from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Please hear these words. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Two psychiatrists were at a convention and they were having dinner with one another, and of course they started talking about their profession since they were at a psychiatric convention. And one said, "What was your most difficult case?" And the other said, "Once I had a patient who lived in a pure fantasy world. He believed that a wildly rich uncle in South America was going to leave him a fortune. All day long he waited for a make-believe letter to arrive from a fictitious attorney. He never went out and he never did anything. He just sat around and waited." "Well, what was the result?" the other psychiatrist asked. "Well, it was an 8-year struggle," he said, "but finally I cured him. And then that stupid letter arrived." You just never know, do you, in this life? Bartimaeus had a dream. He had a dream that one day he would see. To all of his neighbors and his friends and his family, it was just a ridiculous dream. It was a foolish dream. At least it probably seemed to those who paid any attention to this beggar. They probably thought he was delusional, just like that psychiatrist's patients. We don't even know his name, really. He's called Bartimaeus in the Bible, and that simply means son of Timaeus, but we don't know what his first name is. In the eyes of the world, he was a nobody, a blind beggar sitting around the road trying to beg in order to survive. He was the object of pity, and scorn. In Jewish terms, he was the worst of the worst, because the eyes were the window to the soul. And so he was considered really to be a soulless individual in that society. So being blind was terrible, terrible in that particular case. According to the understanding of the day, if you were afflicted with an illness, a disaster of some kind, or a disability, it was somehow your fault, or at least the fault of an ancestor. It might not have even been your fault. The people of Jesus' day lived by what was called the Deuteronomic principle, right out of the book of Deuteronomy, and it was very simple. If you lived according to the law of Moses, you were rewarded, but if you strayed or sinned, then you were punished. I hope we don't live with that kind of simplicity. We have for years asked the question, why do good people suffer? It's not an easy question, is it? So Jesus and his disciples are on the road to Jerusalem, which is about 15 miles to the southeast of Jericho, where Bartimaeus probably lived and came out on the main highway to beg. Someone must have told him that a man named Jesus was going to be passing by, a man who had a reputation for healing. So in an act of desperation and pure faith, Bartimaeus starts crying in a very loud voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now notice something. He calls him Son of David. How does he know that? That was really to be applied to the Messiah. So he's almost one of the first people to recognize that fact. People around him rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." As Jesus was passing by and Bartimaeus decided that he had to do something, and so he leapt into action. He jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now, Jesus did not condemn his condition as those around Bartimaeus did. He did not dismiss him as his neighbors did. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Bartimaeus said very, very simply, "Rabbi, I want to be able to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And he was healed. We love a success story, don't we? Instantly, Bartimaeus regained his sight. In so many ways, Bartimaeus was not as blind as the people who were around him. And what can he teach us? First and foremost, he can teach us the lesson of having a real faith in God. In a way, when you look at it, we started out in Mark with the story of the rich young ruler. And they're in the same position when you come right down to it. How is that possible? Well, listen to the words earlier in the passage. "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. That's a little detail that we tend to forget about. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. His cloak may well have been one of the only things he actually possessed. It was a necessity for combating the heat of the sun by day and the warmth he needed at night. Nevertheless, he threw it away, tossed it aside, and came to Jesus. And we are told immediately, according to Mark, that Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus. We assume he followed him as one of the disciples. Remember, disciples just meant someone who was learning from a master. In 1773, I'll take you back a little in history, a great revival was sweeping across America. 3 years before our American Revolution and 100 years before our Civil War, evangelists on horseback proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, and they were getting a startling response. Hearts were being touched, lives were being changed, and men and women of all races were being converted. A few months after one of those revivals, a white man and a black man were discussing how it had affected their lives. The white man said, "For 3 months after that revival, I suffered in an awful turmoil before God spoke to my soul and gave me peace." The black man replied, "I know just what you mean. I went through the same thing for nearly 2 weeks." While perceiving his white privilege, the white man was disturbed by this news and said, "Why is it that God spoke to you so much sooner than he did to me?" The black man smiled and answered kindly, "The reason is that you white men have so much clothing on you. When Christ calls, you can't run to him. But as poor black folk, usually we only have one ragged coat. When we hear his call, we can throw it off instantly and run to him." How much truth is there in that? That story reflects an unfortunate social situation that even two centuries of progress has still not rectified. But it is also a simple way of stating a profound truth. Some of us would have to throw off so many outer layers to truly follow Jesus Christ. It may be such things as our sophistication, our sometimes cynicism, and our secular preoccupation with material security that is difficult for us to run gladly to Jesus as quickly as Bartimaeus did. Jesus saw Bartimaeus as simply another child of God, and he cared. Too often, we are more like the rich young ruler than the blind Bartimaeus. Too often, we consider the size of the universe and we think, how in the world can God be concerned with me and my little problems? But if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we need to remember another thing that Jesus said. He said, "The good shepherd calls his sheep by name." God knows us all, knows our inner workings, knows our names. The psalmist asked the question, "Who in the world are we as mortal beings that you, God, concern yourself with us?" Jesus saw Bartimaeus and cared about the poor beggar's blindness. He called for Bartimaeus to come to him, and Bartimaeus responded eagerly. He cast off his garment and came to Jesus. Our faith can heal those of us who are sitting by the side of the road today. Would we eagerly cast off our garments and come to Jesus? Can we believe that the God of this vast universe cares about our needs and the needs of those who have so much less than we do? A God that cannot possibly conceive of the crisis that we might be confronting at the moment? If we have that kind of faith, we will get through it. Receiving help simply begins with the courage to ask. "You have not because you ask not," is something that one of my favorite preachers used to say. You have not because you ask not. It was faith that caused Bartimaeus to seek Jesus, and it was faith that caused him to speak up and ask for help. When Jesus wanted to illustrate the love of the Father, he pointed to a tiny sparrow and asked, "Are you not of more value than one of these?" And yet even God in heaven sees the tiny sparrow. We must believe that we are of infinite value to God. God cares about us as individuals. And all that we need to do is open our hearts and let that love come flooding in and dwell within us. Bartimaeus threw off all restrictions and followed Jesus. And we assume, but it's only an assumption, that he went on to spread the good news of his healing to others along the way. Can we do any less? Amen.
Now receive the benediction. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing respect and compassion. Be passionate about sharing your faith. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord always. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. Amen.